Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with one Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin, I play with two Pokemon on the field.
And today we've got so much information, so much stuff we have ostensibly prepared for this podcast. Can you believe it?
Didn't you just come home like 5 minutes ago?
Listen.
Mike's been away for a week, guys.
I spent my week doing very productive things. Past 4 days, I was in Montreal partying with the bros.
Partying with the boys.
And then before that was Esports Next, which was a...
An actual productive conference.
That was a very productive thing. Yes, I spoke with quite a few people over at Esports Next. I feel very accomplished with that. How was your week, Kevin?
It was good. Nothing special.
Okay, good.
I learned a lot about stock options trading. That's how my week went.
Yeah, every few days, Kevin sends me a new video on like some different type of options trading. And I feel like you're falling down a rabbit hole really quick.
Mike, here's the thing. You might think I'm just watching YouTube videos. I am 3 books deep. I am reading up on
you're
this.
You're reading?
Yes. Listen, man.
Is that helping?
I think it is. Remember about that thing called an iron condor? I got a book on it now.
Why do you have a book on the iron condor? We said that as a joke. Wow.
I'm reading.
how many pages deep are you on that?
The iron condor one I haven't started. I finished the covered call book. I just started the wheel strategy book.
Okay.
And then I have one on credit spreads and one on iron condors. I haven't gotten to that one
yet.
Does anyone out there appreciate what we're saying right now?
Zero. Someone's dad somewhere probably appreciates what you're saying. That's amazing. Do you feel like you're like really learning quite a bit?
I think so. I think it's like actually it all does make a lot of sense. Okay, I have an hour lunch break at work, so I pretty much just use it to read with a highlighter in my hand. So.
Oh, wow. You're highlighting.
I'm going in.
Dude, you are
learning.
You are a better student than I ever was.
I think here's the thing. The second that like you just because stocks are boring.
Yeah.
But options just gamifies stocks. So now it's a game. Like, it's like, oh, now I got to play the game. That's the problem.
And as Pokemon Sleep is any evidence, when Kevin gets really into a game, he goes almost too far.
I made a big
list.
He's
got a sheet of paper.
So these are all the Dividend Kings and how well they trade options and what they're currently trading for it and what their dividends are.
And now pick up the Pokemon Sleep sheet.
Oh, it's over here.
Ah, of course. I knew you had it in front of you. There you go.
This one hasn't changed.
Just as long, just as much. Wow.
Yeah.
I am absolutely floored by...
Mike is learning about me.
By the amount that you care about these things. Well, you know what? Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about Pokemon Sleep, of course. We're also going to answer some of the questions that we had last week that we didn't get to, as well as the ones that we asked last week that we will be answering today. Plus, there have been some further updates to the Pokemon 2024 Championship Series, more than what we explained the first time. So we're going to get into that as well as a bunch of really interesting usage stats in kind of a way that I haven't seen packaged so far. So really interested to get into that today. So let's do that. First, Kevin, let's talk about, because we were talking about it earlier, Pokemon Sleep.
Yes, I am excited. And I think a lot of people are kind of just like looking at this event and like glazing over it. At first, when they introduced it, I was like, oh, they're just going to give us some extra, what is it called? The sleeping
drowsy
dream
power. Oh,
no,
dream shards,
Dream shards. I was like, ah, whatever, I don't need dream shards. But currently in the game, I am starved for dream shards. I don't know what happened with... But I guess the higher the Pokemon level gets, the more dream shards they consume. So now leveling up a Pokemon's really, really difficult. So I'm super excited for this event.
Yeah, so Good Sleep Day runs from August 30th to September 1st. And the way it's essentially going to work is you get three different effects going. You've got drowsy power, extra drowsy power, Pokemon Sleep Experience, and Pokemon Sleep Points. Drowsy Power is going to be multiplied by 1.5 times August 30th and September 1st, and multiplied by 2 times on August 31st. So if you have a really good sleep this, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, specifically on Thursday, you're going to get quite a bit more Drowsy Power. Your Pokemon Sleep Experience, 30th and September 1st, you get times 2, and then August 31st, you get times 3. That's huge. Mm-hmm. Times 3 sleep experience. Your Pokemon are at least going to level up like once or twice.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
That's like a lot.
So much. And the thing is, there's currently a good sleep day bundle in the store right now.
Yeah.
For 1050 diamonds,
you can get exactly what you want.
Listen, this is what I need. You get 9 grape biscuits. I almost said grape balls. They're not grape balls. They're biscuits.
Yeah.
2 growth incense, 2 focus incense, and 2 luck incense, which doubles all of the things that we just mentioned.
Right. If you're playing along at home, this is also a really good time for a good camp ticket.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have one of those lying around, or you have a couple of gems lying around and you can afford to buy one of those, it'll be a really good day for that. What I didn't mention was the bonus sleep points. Those huge, little dots. They're amazing. Usually, even with just the license, the
premium
loyalty premium. That's it. Mm-hmm. You get an extra 100 a day, which can sometimes add up to something pretty good. But now
you can on cap August at 200.
Yeah, right. But now August 30th, September 1st, you're getting an extra 500, and August 31st, you're getting an extra 1,000 sleep points.
In 3 days, you get 2,000 sleep points minimum, plus whatever you got normally, which can technically, if you have the premium pass, cap out at 200 each of those days. So 2,600 total.
Amazing.
Whew.
I mean, it's not quite a master biscuit, but it's quite a few great biscuits. That's for sure.
I've been using them all on the evolution items.
Mm-hmm.
Get your evolutionary stones, get your link cables. They're
really, really good. I want to circle back to what we were talking about with Growlithe, because I'm pretty confident now that I've used it for a little while that its ability isn't actually all that great.
Oh, yeah? You don't like it? Well, I got an Arcanine. That thing procs like every single time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Does it have an increased chance to proc kind of thing? Or?
It has the frequency is shorter, so it's like 30 every 36 it has the chance.
I see. Because the effect is that it gives you help times 4.
Arcanine is times 6.
Arcanine is times 6. That is actually just 6 berries or 6 berries ingredients from another person, which is good. That's nice, but I feel like that compared to 6 straight up ingredients, that's by and large better.
It's 6 berries on a normal mon, but if you have a berry booster mon, a Chikorita, for example, it's 2 times 4, which becomes 8. And if it's an Arcanine, it's times 6, it becomes 12.
That's beautiful. Never mind.
And you can use a main what's that thing called? It's like a main skill up seed, and you can boost that to times 8.
Yeah, I just recently got one of those and I slapped that right onto my Charmeleon. My gosh. So many ingredients, man. Oh, it's beautiful.
I've had to increase my ingredients twice already. Have you?
What do you mean?
You can increase the amount of ingredients you can hold in the diamond shop.
No, I run out every day. I run out of ingredients every day. I'm really bad. I'm bad with it.
food.
Yeah. Eat. I did get a Jolteon, though. I did go and get a Jolteon.
Oh, Jolteon has the same thing as Growlithe, except better and faster.
Yeah, I have that just waiting
for both of them cooking.
Waiting for the right berry day. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I've gotten into the habit of sticking with, I think I mentioned this last week, I now stick with 5 of the same Pokemon every week, and I don't switch them over for anything. Those 5 Pokemon are the 5, the 3 different types of berries that Snorlax wants every week.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, yeah, that's probably the best way to beef it up.
Maybe
high as possible.
Maybe. I'll at least see over time. Over time, everything, you know, everything increases.
Everything will be level 100 eventually.
Yeah, you play long enough. You sleep long enough, and trust me, I sleep long enough. You will get there. You will get there. All right. So that's Pokemon Sleep. Go and enjoy a good sleep day. Maybe put on a podcast to go and help you sleep. And if you need a podcast that can help you go and sleep, PokeSports is there for you. Good night.
PokeSports ASMR when? Oh, let's tap the microphone. Is that
we don't need to tap any we've got this. Oh, we've got yawn. We can just yawn a bunch of times.
Are you tired yet?
Are you tired yet? Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Wake up.
Pikachu.
Yeah. So moving on to competitive Pokemon. Let's talk about VGC. Okay. There have been some more changes to the 2024 Pokemon Championship Series season, which we're all really, really excited for, because this is the year that they're kind of doing a major update in order to get more people getting what they deserve, both in terms of prize money and in terms of, you know, prize points.
This last season felt like a big beta.
Yeah.
Felt like a big beta test.
Yeah. So you might remember the last time we spoke, there was a change to the CP required to get into Worlds. For US and Canada, that's 500 for Masters. For Europe, 400, Latin America, 300, Oceania, 300, and Middle East, South Africa, 200. And then for senior and junior, it's significantly less than that. Up as high as 350, down as low as 200. Now there have been some more changes. They have actually gone and taken out one of the international championships.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin's dream of flying to the different internats next year, in order to secure his world's win has now been, ostensibly cut in a quarter.
It's now a lot cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this also means that Gavin Michaels is like the eternal OCIC champion, huh? Because he will never be dethroned. He was the last winner.
Oh, yeah.
He can never be dethroned.
I would love to have that title. It. Yeah.
It's over. He's the final boss.
I was so good. They had to cancel my event. Yeah.
That's funny.
So we'll have three international championships. We'll have LAIC in Latin America over at the Expo Center at where is this? Sao Paulo in Brazil.
That's later that's actually this year.
This
believe,
year.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, that's LAIC is always the earliest one.
Mm-hmm.
When exactly is that this year?
That's November 17th to 19th, 2023. Well,
a little bit after Toronto. Yeah, that's not too far after Toronto.
Yeah, so if you want to, you can fly right from my wedding to the
Brazil. The yeah, other side of the world.
That's it. Have we decided? Are you staying the week?
I'm trying to get that week off. It's a blackout week for me.
Okay.
But I think I can convince my
very
GM.
Nice.
All right, cool. Mostly because I have 17 days to still use.
Oh.
So I gotta use them eventually.
Yeah, they'll want that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, great. I'll show you around Toronto. We'll have a good week. You can come over and work at my place if you want. We can do PokeSports stuff.
Work.
Yeah. We'll take you over here. Oh, we'll do like a two camera setup. We'll both actually be playing
a live SmackDown.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be so fun. Okay, now I'm actually incredibly excited now. That's fine.
Before he was miserable that I'm coming over. Now he's excited.
I hated it. I was like, oh man, I have to entertain someone for a week. It's like, oh no, it's my business partner. Wait a second, we can do business.
This is now a work trip.
Yes, it will be. EUIC is happening in Center London at Excel Center London in the UK, from April 5th, to April 7th, 2024. Who knows what regulation will be in? I don't.
Regulation Q.
If we ever hit Regulation Q, I'm going to be incredibly excited. That's going to reg one. Reg L, folks. Let's go.
What letter did we have this conversation? What letter are we stopping at? Do we make our bets? I feel like we've had
we haven't made those bets.
What's the 12th letter of the alphabet? No, it's the 14th letter of the alphabet.
Oh no, don't do this to me.
Because we had 14 series.
King LMN?
Regulation N? Is that where we're ending?
N. And that's when end. Black and white remakes confirmed.
Oh my goodness. Oh. That's why we changed the letters.
Wow. I don't actually know if that's accurate. 14th letter of the alphabet is N. Oh my gosh, I'm correct.
You counted to 14 all by yourself, Mike.
I did it. I won. NAIC is June 7th to 9th. Traditionally, past 2 years, it's been in Ohio. This year, we are having NAIC at the Ernst N. Morial Convention Center in New Orleans.
Going New Orleans.
We're going to New Orleans, Los Angeles.
Nope, that's not the one.
Wait, what?
It's Louisiana, brother.
Why is L.A. Louisiana?
Because it starts with an L and it ends with an A.
Los Angeles, California. You're right. Okay. New Orleans, Los Angeles, right?
Yes, yes. The Canadian trying to tell me about geography.
What? I'm not trying to tell you about geography. I'm just trying to say the words that are on a screen. Oh, Los boy. Angeles. 900 Convention Center Boulevard, New
Mike
Orleans.
Mike thought he was going to Cali.
Louisiana. I kind of was excited. Now I'm still excited because I love
New Orleans.
The idea
is a very
New
nice
Orleans.
Place. Yeah, yeah,
sure.
Get to have some seafood and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Oh, some po' boys.
What are those?
Oh, sandwiches.
Oh, okay. Are they like subs?
I'm going to send you photos.
Kevin's definitely going to send me too many photos of
just
po'
think
boys.
Of a bunch of fried seafood in a sub with cheese and stuff.
Sorry, say that again. Cheese and stuff and what else?
Bunch of fried seafood.
Fried seafood and cheese. Okay.
Hold on.
Sure. Sure. So we're talking like some haddock, some what is this? This is, I'm looking at a salad with bread surrounding it.
Kind of.
Like that thing is packed. What is that? Is that octopus?
It looks like shrimp.
Shrimp?
It might be fried shrimp.
Oh, I will absolutely mess up some scrimp. Yes, that's beautiful. Okay, so I have a new appreciation for NASC in New Orleans. Now in Louisiana.
The only thing I'm a little bit sad about.
Yes.
We're going to be in Louisiana, one of the most humid parts of the country, in June. In June. Yeah. You were attacked by mosquitoes in Montreal. Wait till you get down there, brother.
That's very true. If you're listening to the Preach, I talk all about my trip to Montreal.
Oh, that's right. That wasn't here.
That wasn't here. But yeah, essentially on the way back, I got absolutely destroyed by mosquitoes. I've so far counted at least 12 little bites. So, and I was only outside for like maybe 10 minutes. Like it's not good. It's not good.
Listen, how many bites can you do in 10 minutes?
How many bites can I do in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Depends on the sandwich.
Depends on the po' boy.
There's also been a prize pool adjustment. Kevin, I think you know more about this than I do.
Okay, drastic prize pool adjustment. You can actually make money playing in VGC now. Whoa. It's kind of weird. So they essentially reworked all of the pricing. We're just going to be talking about VGC because that's kind of what we usually talk about here. But just to kind of give you a comparison... Typically, if a player won Worlds, they were given $10,000. Now, that is multiplied by three.
Ooh.
$30,000 goes to just the winner. But here's the thing. Pricing across the board got increased. So now $20,000 goes to second place. Mm. So that's already a 2x boost from what the winner used to get last year. 15,000 goes to third and fourth. 10 grand goes to top eight or to fifth to eighth. And then ninth to 16th is $5,000, which is what the old second place used to be.
Right. That's
wild.
Now.
Yeah, it's 9th now.
Yeah, there was a tweet you sent to me by at Ben Build on Twitter that said, just to indicate how good the prize pool increases are, Paul Chua, who is a very consistent VGC player, has 27,500 lifetime earnings, according to Liquipedia. With these prize pools, that would be 109,500. That's quite the increase.
That's a 5x increase.
That's
in theory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That doesn't account for inflation, though.
No. But, but you know what? Like, it makes sense that they're doing that now. The game is way more successful than it was before. The game has way more attention than it had before. I don't feel bad that people didn't make too much back then because there weren't as many players back then. Mm-hmm. I don't feel bad that people were making less money back then because Pokemon was a different kind of company back then. They weren't focusing on esports. Now, because of PokeSports.
Yes. Shout out to Chris Brown.
Shout out to Chris Brown. we as an esport have started to grow. There's been a lot more attention on Pokemon as an esport over the past couple of years, ever since Sword and Shield, really. It's just it is the time.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was just world's earnings. Regionals and internationals raised too.
That's right.
So now winning an international championship will yield you $15,000, so half of winning worlds. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then second place gets $10,000. Top 32 get $2,000. So that's crazy because I know people that got top 32
sure
at internationals, and you now walk home with $2,000. You get the flight back if you get top 32. That's really cool. And then for regional championships, we are looking at $6,000 for first place. So it's a little bit less, but of course it's a regional championship.
Still, $6,000 is amazing. Yeah.
It's still like compared to what you used to get.
Yeah.
Double. But you also got to remember that I was going to say regional championships aren't hosted by Pokemon, but I'm pretty sure Pokemon still does the payouts for it.
So right? Pokemon still does the payouts for them. But yeah, they're organized by Overload, Day 2, and Gallery Games.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, $6,000 for first place, $4,000 for second place, and then top 16. 9 to 16 gets 750.
That's right.
Money.
Money, money, money.
Money good.
Now, again, just to reiterate some of those regionals that are coming up, we've got Pittsburgh coming up September 8th. We've got Peoria October 6th, Sacramento October 13th to 15th, Toronto, yeah, baby.
Woo-woo.
October 27th to 29th, San Antonio, December 15th to 17th, then into the new year. I'm not going to mention the dates, but we've got Portland, Charlotte, Knoxville, Vancouver, Orlando, Indianapolis, and Los Angeles.
No.
That's a stacked year. Yeah.
I thought you were just saying Louisiana as Los Angeles again. But no, we actually do have one in Los Angeles.
There is Los Angeles in this one. That one's May 24th to 26th. That's the one I'm probably not going to go to. That we get to go straight up the May 2-4 weekend.
Oh, yeah, fair. We get to go to Los Angeles and then go to the other southern Los Angeles in Louisiana.
I got to say, I would love to go to Los Angeles for a Pokemon tournament, but
I think it'd be really good too. Yeah.
I don't know if I like that day.
You can go to San Diego instead. You're still going to California.
I guess so. When is that?
A little bit earlier.
A little bit earlier. That's the internet? Or did I say that one? Just I'm not seeing it now.
You said it.
I said it.
Words came out of your mouth. Yeah.
I said San Antonio.
Oh, you did. Yeah. San Antonio's in Texas. Yeah, you're missing California. Sorry, GG.
GG.
Did you say Sacramento? Was that one?
Yep.
Sacramento is one?
Yes. October 13th to 15th, the week before my wedding.
Oh, never mind. That one's also in California. You can't really go to that one.
That's fair.
Next.
Wow, they're really stacking those October.
There's a lot
ones.
Of regionals.
There's one there's every other week in October.
It's crazy.
The 6th.
Regulation EOP.
Wow, for between Peoria and Sacramento. Peoria and Sacramento are a week apart. Sacramento and Toronto are 2 weeks apart.
There's three regionals
in October.
Wow. NA, yeah.
Yeah.
Get your points.
Oh, sure. Not to mention the ones that are happening outside of NA.
Too bad they're all capped at 350.
Yeah. Yeah, let's hope there's some kind of change there.
Get them docs, please.
Send them docs. I was saying to you earlier that Oceania losing their internationals is kind of rough, but at the same time, I'm interested to see how the premier challenges, midseason showdowns, and global challenges are really going to affect the people in Oceania. Because if there are that many good players out there, like, they're gonna be fine in terms of points.
I mean, Oceania was always the smallest international championship,
right?
Mostly because it's the hardest to get to, especially if you're traveling internationally. I think it usually had around 200 something players.
Sure.
I'm sure they had a good reason as to why they decided to drop it. It was probably money.
It was probably money.
But yeah, it's sad. It kind of does suck for you know, the players in Oceania. Mm. I wonder how they're going to compensate for it, because it does seem like that they're aware that it sucks and they are willing to compensate, but... Mm. Who knows? Whether it's online tours, whether it's CP through other means, whether it's lowering the cap.
Yeah.
No idea.
But again, very important to remember that if your tournament has more than 17 people, first place in a premier challenge gets 30 points, second place gets 16, third and fourth get 12, and fifth to eighth get 8. Mid-season showdowns, if you have more than 17 people, this is just so that fifth to eighth are included, but... First gets 50, second gets 40, third and fourth gets 32, fifth to eighth gets 25. And the global challenges, the ones that are online, which anybody can be particularly good at. Let's just assume that that one's going to be above 256 every time, if not like 1024, 240, and 2048, where all the way down to like 64th place, you get 40 points. And first, you get 160. Like for people in Oceania, winning a global challenge is half your way to Worlds, because again, they only need 300 to get to Worlds, whereas, you know, US Canada needs 500. So it's entirely possible. Yeah, exactly. I feel for them in that they're losing an event, and that kind of sucks. But at the same time, I don't think that anybody who's, you know, good enough to be winning an international anyway is going to have a tough time. I wonder
why the solution to this isn't just allowing Oceania to take place in play Pokemon Asia and their circuit, since their circuit is mostly online anyway. They don't have a lot of live tours. Just allow them to play under that circuit and then qualify for Worlds under those means.
Maybe. I feel like that's the media that Australians, let's look at Australians specifically, right? Like the media that they consume about Pokemon is mostly coming from North America, Europe.
Mm-hmm.
So to have their circuit be, you know, based in a language that they don't really speak, a lot of them.
That's fair.
That's tough.
Australia is a weird country in the sense that it's considered a Western country in the East. So it's just like, what's going on here?
Yeah. Just move your country.
I guess any west is east enough if you go far enough.
Start pulling, everybody. We'll just get a really long rope.
Start paddling.
Paddle your country over here. Yeah. So those are the changes to the 2024 Worlds.
What do you guys think?
What do you think? There are also usage stats. I want to get into these usage stats because it's probably the more interesting way that I've seen usage stats done in the past little while. VGC Data, at VGC Data, went and released Regulation D usage stats, an update to how that's going so far. Over the top 100 teams from the 6 biggest Limitless tournaments last week. And on that, they showed not only the most used Pokemon, not only the most used Terra-types within those Pokemon, but also the most used cores both two Pokemon cores, three Pokemon cores, four Pokemon cores, and even six Pokemon cores. But we're going to be talking about two, three, and four. The most used Pokemon, unsurprising to anybody over the past little while. Oh, my goodness. It's Fluttermane.
Wow.
Wow. Still there.
Good mon.
Over at 60%, 65 used Fluttermanes out of
100.
I want to say 100, yeah. Well, jeez. No, it's got to be a little bit more than that, huh?
No.
Okay.
It was 100 teams that were, so you can only have one Fluttermane per team.
Why is it 60%?
Oh. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah, over 100 top teams. Oh, over 100 top teams.
Oh, over. Got it.
Anyway, it's close. Number two, that's Chempao, coming in at 39% usage.
That's a big increase for Chempao, actually.
Yeah, it is.
And it's Chempao next to no Dragonite to be seen anywhere near it, right? It's
right?
Like 43 Chempaos, but Dragonite's all the way down at 13. Interesting. I mean, you could also use Chempao next to any physical attacker probably and be okay.
And people are tending to do that, as you'll see in the next two. Iron Hands is coming in at 39% as well. Most people are using Fluttermane, Chempao, and Iron Hands. Number four. Well, that's Urshifu.
Rapid Strike specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a strong guy.
It's a strong guy. Typically, those are going Water Terra. And I guess while we're at it, typically Iron Hands players are either going Grass Terra, mostly Grass Terra, or Water Terra on those. Chempao, most of them are going Ghost Terra, with a very small minority going Poison Terra or Grass, Dark, Fighting, or even Ice sometimes.
Yeah, Ghost Terra on Chempao is really good because you can pretty much deal with Dragonite that way.
Yeah. And then Fluttermane, as I'm sure you have experienced before, are mostly going Terra Fairy.
Yeah, but there's a little bit more Water Terras popping around, mostly because of the Urshifu. That's like one of the few ways that you can live it.
Right. Number five is still Amoongus, 33%, with most of them, 97% of them going with Water Terra. So,
I mean, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. Amoongus is still very good. Yeah. And there's not another grass type currently in the game that can compete with Amoongus. It's just definitively the best one. Rillaboom's like a close second.
Mm-hmm. Last two I find interesting here. We've got Tornadus and Landorus coming in at 6th and 7th at 29% and 28% respectively. Tornadus is going Ghost Terra usually just to escape fake outs more often than not. And Landorus is going Flying Terra, mostly because of Terra Blast. Interesting data here saying that Terra Blast is on 100% of the Landoruses that have Terra Flying.
Yeah, I mean, Terra Flying is so devastating. A 2x stab on a Pokemon with, like, what is it, base 140 attack?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculously strong. On top of that, you get the Intimidate, you get the Pivot. I think people miss Incineroar. And Landorus is their new favorite toy for now.
Yeah, for sure.
That's for sure.
Absolutely.
People were running Hisuian Arcanine for a while until they realized, wait, we have Landorus. What are we doing with this Hisuian Arcanine?
Yeah, at this point, 9 players were bringing Hisuian Arcanine. That's 8%. That's very sad. But yeah, the really interesting data to me was the 2, 3, and 4 Pokemon cores. So starting with the 2 Pokemon cores, people are going Fluttermane and Iron Hands. 23.9% of those Limitless teams were going Fluttermane, Iron Hands in their team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a very solid group of Pokemon to take, as is what came in second at 22.9%. That's Chempao and Fluttermane as well. Fluttermane's on a lot of these cores.
Go fast, hit hard.
Unsurprisingly. Coming in third, that's Tornadus and Fluttermane. And coming in fourth, that's at 20.2%, Iron Hands and Amoongus.
You could pretty much take all the Pokemon you said to make a team.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Especially with these 6 Pokemon cores. I'll dip into that really, really quick. But at 4.6%, the most amount of people using these exact 6 Pokemon, that's Urshifu Rapid Strike, Chen Pao, Iron Hands, Pelipper, Amoongus, and Golden Go.
It's a strong rain team right there.
Yeah, it's a very strong rain team. Dipping into the three Pokemon cores, most of these don't actually involve Fluttermane. Most of the top ones actually involve Urshifu Rapid Strike. At 11.9%, you've got Urshifu Rapid Strike, Chen Pao, and Amoongus. In second, at 11%, actually tied for 11%, we have a three-way tie between Urshifu Rapid Strike, Iron Hands Amoongus, Chen Pao Iron Hands Amoongus, and Heatran, Urshifu Rapid, and Fluttermane. First time that Heatran shows up is in this tied for second three Pokemon core.
Remember when I said Amoongus was the best grass type in the meta?
Right.
And Rillaboom might be the second. I'm pretty sure Heatran is the third. Congratulations, Heatran. You are the honorary grass type. It's such a good Terra type for this Pokemon to the point where it made Heatran hardly used in previous competitive metas to very used.
Yeah.
Very quickly.
That's true. That's very true. And then four Pokemon cores, there is a very clear first, second, and third at 10 uses, 9 uses, and 8 uses. At 10 uses, that's Urshifu Rapid, Chen Pao, Iron Hands, and Amoongus. Unsurprising, we've heard those names a bunch already. Coming in at 9 uses, though, we've got Torkoal, Lilligant, Hisui, Female Indeedee, and Armourouge. Now, that's probably just because that is like the staple within using any one of those four Pokemon, right?
Yeah, that's like a really strong core in general. Like, if you're playing Trick Room, there's like currently two modes of Trick Room. It's either you go Cress and Ursaluna with just balance, or you just go hard Trick Room. You go Torkoal, Lilligant, Indeedee, Armourouge, and you Psy Spam and you Erupt Spam, and just in case neither of those are going to happen, you have follow after you Eruptions.
Right. Absolutely. And then coming in at number 8, we've got Chen Pao, Iron Hands, Pelipper, and Amoongus. So we're immediately rain back stuff. To
yeah.
immediately back to the rain stuff. Interesting to see this data set like this. They also mentioned that in rising and falling usage, Chi Yu, Heatran, Ursaluna, Cresselia, Torkoal, Indeedee Female, and Armourouge are all rising in usage this month. And falling in usage is surprisingly Urshifu Rapid Strike, Amoongus, Tornadus, Landorus, Therian, and Goldengo.
We gotta remember Urshifu Rapid Strike used to be right next to Fluttermane.
That's
at
true.
At like number 2. And it was like very close to percentages. Now, like Chen Pao and Iron Hands kind of just overtook that spot. It's like people are saying, I don't need the Urshifu damage. It's nice having it, but Iron Hands can just be Iron Hands and be okay.
I kind of think it went the other way, where there were a lot of people who got wise to what Urshifu Rapid Strike was doing and who said, all right, I'm going to build around that. I'm going to have a Pokemon that is solely dedicated to breaking Urshifu Rapid, or I'm going to rebuild my current Pokemon to at least be able to deal with that.
For example, the Water Terra is the most used Terra type, period. Yeah.
Yeah.
169 Pokemon that were taken survey. 26% of all these Pokemon had Terra Water.
Fascinating.
That's Chiyu, that's Ursaluna, that's Goldengo, that's Cresselia, that's Indeedee. Listen, when in doubt, you know you'll see an Urshifu. You need to decide what your Terra's gonna be? Water.
There you go. Very interesting to look at the Terra column as well. Yeah, as Kevin said, the highest being Terra Water, the second highest being Terra Fairy at 17%. Most of that is coming from, over half of that is coming from Fluttermane. Actually, just under half of that coming from Fluttermane. Then the other half coming from just kind of the rest of them.
Yeah.
Wow. Just
a lot of Indeedees, a lot of Ferrigiraffes, a lot of Gyaradoses.
Then after that is Ghost, where it's mostly from Chen Pao and Tornadus. A little bit from Chi Yu and Ursaluna, and then scattered among the rest. Grass Terra, mostly used by Iron Hands and Heatran, and then scattered among the rest.
A little bit of Armourouge in here too.
Yeah. Terra Poison's in there as well for Urshifu single strike. And the big one, I say, is Terra Flying, where more than half of that is made up of Landorus. And this is by far, actually, that and Grass Terra that are being used for Terra Blast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Most of the Terra Blasts for Flying are coming from Landorus, and most of the Terra Blasts for Grass are coming from, it looks like, let's see, Heatran. Yeah, mostly Heatran.
There's just one more Terra type that's really used, and that's Steel type after that. So, like, the most used Terra types we're seeing currently in current competitive is, like, Water Fairy, Ghost, Grass, Poison, Fire, Flying, and Steel, and then there's, like, a hard drop-off after
that. Very hard, yeah.
Steel types, we're looking at Golden Go for damage, mostly. But then after that, we got Dark, Normal, Dragon, Electric, hardly any usage here. Rock Fighting, Psychic Bug, Ice, and Ground. So,
by the way, if anybody wants to know the least used Terra in the past week, that would be Terra Ice and Terra Ground, both tied at one use. On a Chen Pao and on a Tornadus. And honestly, the Tornadus ground Terra, that's strange to me.
That's a weird one. Yeah. And honestly, the Chen Pao ice Terra just seems like they forgot.
Yeah. They didn't have time to give the required materials to change that up.
There weren't enough max raid battles.
That's right. Exactly. All right. Well, that's the VGC data. If you want to go and follow that Twitter account, that's at VGC data. Very, very interesting stuff to go and check out if you want to see what people are using in the meta right now, especially if you want to get a team ready just for competitive Pokemon. This is a great place to start. All right. We have two questions that we'll go over a little bit super quick because we're starting to run out of time here. 2 weeks ago, for Worlds 2023, new DLC Pokemon and more and moves, I asked the question, did you watch Worlds 2023? What was your favorite part?
Ooh.
Yeah. WFB says, the giraffe.
Oh, for a giraffe, yeah. It almost won.
For a giraffe, almost won Worlds. Brooks says, forgot his name, but the guy with the Articuno, loved watching that game. There was a guy with an Articuno, yeah.
That was Patrick Dons.
That's right.
Dons.
That's right.
Patrick Dunn again.
Example with a 4 for an A and a L for the, or 1 for the L. Says, me and my girlfriend had a friend over and we had some cocktails while watching the finals. My highlight was Tomoyo versus Robbie. I love Tomoyo's team and it was an epic battle. Overall, watching Worlds was fun.
That's good. That's the best way to watch Worlds, with a drink in your hand.
Yeah. Or just anything, right? Like, have some friends over, get yourself a charcuterie board going, get yourself, you know, some snacks and just have a time.
It's nothing fun. Better than eating a bunch of sodium and dehydrating yourself with liquor. It's the greatest thing.
Jetpack the 67th says TPC finally did it. They created an ice type that was good enough to win Worlds. Chen Pao, I believe, is the first ice type to win Worlds since Mamoswine in Gen 4. Good for it.
That's a statistic I didn't even consider. Yeah. I'm surprised it wasn't this guy. I'm surprised it wasn't Pundle. It was Chen Pao.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right? I don't know if that's accurate or not, but it very well could be. It very well could be. Because, yes, ice types have been very underrepresented for a very long time.
It's not a good typing. But for some reason, there's a lot of good ice types this generation.
Yeah. Mewtwo and Ultura says, yes, especially Unite. Who expected Luminosity to win? Positively surprised, even though my fave Renaissance wasn't there. Also, apparently, Mew VMAX won TCG. Happy to see my fave deck win. Awesome.
So Mew and Mewtwo are just taking over the whole game at this point,
absolutely,
I guess.
Absolutely, yeah.
Sure.
Renaissance wasn't there, but Mew and Mewtwo are certainly having one. Luminosity winning Unite was really, really interesting. I love Luminosity's story, and we'll definitely get into it one week when we focus just on Unite. But I do want to move on. Pokemon the Fourth says, yes, I did, but I play the TCG, so I watched that and loved Giratina. Did so good. It's my favorite Pokemon. Also really loved the Gardevoir deck, and it came in second place. Oh.
Okay.
Giratina's used.
Yeah, I mean, that's the cool thing about a TCG. You're just kind of able to use different Pokemon than what you're used to seeing, especially in competitive.
Oh, dude, you think that's wild? You look over at Pokemon Go.
Oh, yeah, you see Metachams, and you see Azumarills on the screen. Got some Noctowls.
Exeggutors. Like, what is that thing doing there?
Well, their competitive is, like, actually, like, the middle tier, right? They have a tiering system, and they play, like, the middle tier for competitive. So that's interesting. Which is it's really the great ball tier.
Yeah. I'm just looking at, like, Attacker's tier list here.
Like, that's such a Smogon thing to do, and I'm surprised that a Pokemon game did a Smogon thing.
Like Mamoswine is among the S tier Pokemon in attackers for Go,
which is why we play with Medichams and Quagsires. That's every time I look over at Go, I'm like, oh, there's just the Medicham on the screen. It's like, oh, okay,
that's the fun one. Let's see, I want to see from someone who didn't. What was your question?
Do they balance that game?
Oh,
they have to, right?
I'm sure they have to. Yeah.
Yeah, like you can't have a competitive scene if you're going to just not balance it.
Mm. I wanted to look at somebody who didn't go to Worlds and see what their explanation there was. So let's see. Nick here says, I didn't. I only watched the first day and plan on watching day two in post. I hope there will be tournaments in the Netherlands this season. Probably not because Pokemon isn't popular here. Also, I can't go online. I would hesitate to say things like Pokemon isn't popular here. I think you would be surprised if Pokemon ever did show up, how many people would actually go out to this kind of thing who you didn't know existed. I think the thing holding it back is just a lack of offering. So if you are somebody who wants to see Pokemon happen, in your city, in your town, in your village, where are you? Then, you know, just go and get it set up.
Go have a 17-person premier challenge. Get 17 of your friends, get some CP. It'll be a great time.
Legit. It could be a lot of fun. Ooh, here we go. Kelvin says the roast of Ray Rizzo by the VGC casting crew and also Aaron Zhang doing a great job at getting me hyped.
You sent me something.
I did?
Who was it? That whole glue eating thing was hilarious during the live broadcast.
Oh, sure.
I don't want to say who it was because I'm pretty sure I got in trouble for it.
Ray Rizzo went off.
That wasn't Ray.
No,
that wasn't Ray.
Not Ray. No.
That was Scott. I think Scott Glaza.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't going to say who it is, but I'm going to say who it is. It's Scott Glaza and Adam Dorkit. They were just having a great time. They got stopped by production real quick, but they had me rolling.
Yeah.
Little Timmy over there eating glue or whatever.
He just went off on this big tangent and they had to stop him. They were like, no, like I could feel the heat from the producers from Japan here where like, I was like, did it just get a little bit warmer? Like what's going on here? And they're probably in their ear being like, stop this. No, you can't be saying this. Stop it. Move on. Anyway, it's a great fun.
It was best part.
Yeah. That's Kevin's favorite part of Worlds. Then last week was Ride the Lapras Express, where we talked a little bit about Lapras and Pokemon Unite.
But you haven't gotten to play because you haven't been here all week.
No. Did you?
I've been playing Unite. I'm in Ultra Class 1. I'm right next to Master Ball. We're getting there.
The question I asked last week was, do you have a favorite Pokemon Unite Mon? What would it be if not? Which I'm sure back like years ago, we have probably asked that question. But since then, a lot of Pokemon have come out. And so I feel like probably, if you don't have, if you didn't have a Pokemon that was out then, maybe it's out now.
We also don't remember our old answers.
We also don't remember. Leroy says, Scizor is my guy. Have you played with Scizor?
I haven't played with Scizor. I played with the Scizor on my team. And all I see is like one Scizor, then there's five Scizors, and they all become one Scizor again, then there's five again, and then it slashes, and then they all die. So I'm like, okay, there's a lot of things that happen.
There's a lot of stuff going on there. Yeah, absolutely. Cool Hand says, I love Ninetales, but that poor mon got power crept out a bit since the beginning.
So a lot of the old mons got really power crept is what I've noticed too. It's like, oh, yeah, these used to be considered good.
Ninetales used to be my favorite.
Yeah. What's a Pokemon that used to be like stupid good, but just kind of isn't anymore? Like Serena.
Is a great example of that. Yeah, Serena, absolutely.
No one sees Serena anymore. Ninetales, right. Yeah, that's another one. It's like, okay, you can use Ninetales if you want, but why?
Right.
Just use better Ninetales everywhere else.
They also say Slowbro is my forever homie, though. When I need Slowbro's to make some...
cracked right
yeah,
now,
it's really yeah. good. Whenever I need to make some consistent pushes in the solo queue, the bro gets it done.
Yeah. That's fair. I've seen Slowbro live everything mm-hmm. and then just somehow still live.
Aiden says, like playing Urshifu, having the ability to jump around and harass the enemy as Rapid Strike or Kill Steal a single strike, I found it extremely satisfying. I like seeing Greedent run and eat berries. very good. They went straight from saying I love Urshifu, I love the utility of being able to switch between an amazingly fast super utilitarian thing or Kill Steal single strike, I like seeing Greedent run and eat berries. That's amazing. Jump. Aiden, very good. Let's see. Jacob says, got into Unite only recently playing with some friends, but I've loved playing Glaceon. Also, I fully agree with everything you said about Mewtwo. It's just oppressive to play against it. Mm-hmm.
It's not a fun one. It's definitely a struggle.
Let's talk about some of the wants. Strong Boy Astro says, I want Bramblegast and want to see it turn into a bush when it sits still so I can ambush players. That's amazing. That's perfect.
Oh, that'd be cool.
You have just created the exactly good way for people to play Bramblegast.
I think Bramblegast would be a really interesting Unite Mon. I would agree with that. I still think Delmize needs to exist. I remember being on that. We still don't have a hook champion in the game this far in.
Do you think that Delmize would be a hook champion?
It is literally an anchor.
But that's its body, though. I guess so.
Latches to the floor, throws itself, brings it back. I don't know.
Yeah, that'd be good. Let's see. You made an impression on Harley, who says, I don't play Unite, but Sylveon is one of my favorite Pokemon. Also, Lapras sounds like way too much fun.
Yes. Yeah. It looks like way too much fun.
Definitely going to be trying it. Yeah, definitely going to be trying it this week. Yes, I love my Lapras as example. Rescuing my friends with the Express is so cool.
Lapras Express.
Decidueye and Blastoise are my favorite, says Harry. Also, I can't overstate how much Mewtwo is ruining the game for me. Like, it just makes moves. Skill shots at least. And why does every move give it more stats?
It doesn't make sense. No, I agree.
That exact thing out while we were playing is why, like, this isn't a skill shot. Why isn't this a skill shot?
Because the thing is, you're so far away. You're at a safe distance, right? And it's just like, here.
Yeah.
Mine now.
That's right. Steiner says, Cramorant, love that goofy bird.
I feel like that one kind of got power crept too, but I love it too.
That's a good example of a power crept mon. Yeah. And then last one here, let's go with Mewtwo and Altuer again, who says Guardi Psycho and Mewtwo Curie. Oh, why? I want to hashtag Psystrike spam and hashtag Future Sight go burr. Clearly, I still love Mewtwo as a Pokemon, even if it's crazy OP. P.S. Mercury Fangirl. There you go.
And listen, you should be playing it now. This is the time to play Unite right now before they nerf this thing to the ground. Because if they keep this around, GG's.
Yeah. If they keep this around, then either it's going to be a staple on every single team and people are going to get bored and leave, or people are going to get bored and leave now.
Yeah.
They just need to take it down a notch and people will continue to play it. People will continue to play it. But there will be more diversity among the Mons. That's what we want.
How about we just make it do less numbers? Take the numbers, make them less.
Tune it down.
I'm no balance team, but I think if we make the numbers less, the problem will get resolved.
Yeah. I mean, right now they're not holding back and they need to make Mewtwo less incredible.
Yes.
Were you expecting I would hit the buttons for those?
No.
Good. Cool, because I'm not going to. And that's PokeSports for the week. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Mike, and that's been Kevin. We've got stuff going on this week. If you want to see a Go-Goat in action, if you want to see a Go-Goat absolutely destroy people in VGC, then you got to head over to youtube.com/PokeSports. If you want to see a Luminion absolutely wreck one person one time, that's YouTube right there. Anything else? Minion
do the bare minimum. YouTube.com/PokeSports.
That's it. That's it. Real quick, I guess before we go, I will secede the rest of my shout out time to instead shout out 2 5-star reviews. I've read the first sentence of the first one and I'm like, maybe I'll read 1 5-star review. Okay. Says, this is a review from someone who's been hooked for well over a year now. Says, my name is Mike. I don't care for Oricorio. I think it's overrated and it's not even that well rated in the first place. Feel free to clip that quote. Hey, you just made me say, okay, that's fine. Cool.
He got you.
You got me.
You literally said it word for word and didn't stop.
They then say, feel free to clip this quote and any attempt by me at a later date to walk this back should not be taken seriously. I can't stress enough that I stand by this statement. That I just don't like Oricorio. In brackets, seriously though, I'm refreshing at 12 p.m. UK time every Wednesday waiting for a new episode. Not often you get esports podcasts that are not either hosted by overenthusiastic tweens or bitter 40-year-old guys angrily recounting stats. Uh-oh. Just a couple of chill dudes who take this all the right amount of seriously. Oh, thank you. Oh, Bohemian, thank you so much for that kind thing.
We're right in between those two demographics.
We rattle off stats a lot, but I think we do it in a nice way,
in a better way. We literally spent all of last episode angrily talking about Mewtwo and its stats.
Listen,
we're not 40.
It's all in the delivery. It's all in the delivery. You can talk about stats as long as you do it in a not bad way. Let's just say bad way. Anyway, Kevin, you got anything else you want to shout out this week?
Nope.
All right, dope. That makes this easy. thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.